You're listening to No Plot, Only Lore, a podcast about games and the tables we play them at. Your DMs tonight and every night are Josh and Chris. You can find us on all podcast platforms or check us out at noplotonlylore.com. If you like what you hear today, please rate and review the show and share it with everyone you've ever met. Welcome back to No Plot, Only Lore, this week brought to you by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who died for your sins. Christopher?
Yeah.
What are we talking about this week?
we're gonna talk about Jesus Christ. Specifically, what are his stats and how do you kill him?
Well, I think it's pretty well established how you kill him. That should be easy. But stat-wise, that's another question.
Okay, I feel like theologically killing him in like a
only
way
makes him stronger? You're correct.
In a way that would, like, get rid of him entirely would be difficult. And so, like, the angle that I'm going on this is, like, maybe Jesus is a lich. Because, like, you can kill him, and then a few days later he'll come back as long as his phylactery is intact.
I guess that's technically true. If we're talking specifically within D&D mechanics, he's either a lich or has some sort of, like, bound-triggered spell.
Yeah. Or even just, like, some specific divine protection, right? Like, there's room for that in D&D, where it's just like, God likes this one, so...
There is a lot of divine in Dungeons & Dragons. It's yes. The D&D, Divine Dungeons & Dragons.
So what I wanted to talk about today was some classic Christmas characters, including Jesus. We'll talk about him a little more little later on. And just, like... how you can get ideas for your characters from those. And I don't necessarily mean this in like a Christmas themed sense, right? Like you can take some of these characters and take them out of the Christmas setting and like make something interesting out of them that is completely separate from Christmas. But like, I just kind of wanted to like, look at like, how would we build these, right? Like if we wanted to build the Nutcracker, what would that guy's race and class be like, how would we like think about putting that together? So that's kind of what I wanted to talk about today.
Yeah. And obviously, you know, it being December, you always get tempted to try to put something a little festive together with your normal group, just as a one-off, because, you know, maybe you can't play with the normal group because of holiday commitments and people are in and out, or maybe you've got, you know, people in town visiting who want to just, you know, take a crack at something you can throw together as a one shot. And that sort of got us down the train of like, well, what kind of Christmassy themed characters, you know, could be converted into Dungeons and Dragons. Now, tell me if I'm wrong. Have they ever actually done a stat block for Santa Claus?
I don't know. Give me a moment to be thunderously loud on my keyboard and see if I can find one.
I'm 90% sure I remember one being printed at some time. Or at least for some of the other, well, not other, or Christmas villains. I was about to say other Christmas villains, which implies that Santa Claus is the villain of Christmas, which obviously is not true, but could be if you wanted to get real creative.
It looks like they did.
That makes sense.
Specifically, he was a monster?
Okay, yeah.
He was a CR20 Archfey.
That also makes sense, yeah.
Yeah. And they put it out on, like, the Wizards Web Archive, I guess. Just from the Reddit thread that I'm looking at. But I don't know if they've ever actually, like... I'm sure somewhere over the course of, like, the 20-year run of Dragon, they put something in there.
I was gonna say, that this reeks to me of, like, just a little haha Dragon publication around the holidays. Hey, you know, who wants to fight Krampus or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I guess when I'm looking at like this list, I'm thinking more of like player characters than bad guys, right? So like, how would you build a character like Santa who like you could maybe file the serial numbers off if you wanted to, or like go with the cool Santa from like the Guardians movie where he's all like tattooed up in like a Russian mafioso or whatever.
I was gonna say, like, you could do that kind of like Nightmare Before Christmas crossover episode type deal where you've got various holiday icons adventuring together to save the concept of holidays from something.
Mm. Yeah. If I was building a Santa themed character, I think the first thing I would do is go dwarf.
Well, of course. Yeah. Giant beards.
Right. Giant beards
near fireplaces. I don't know.
They make stuff.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So like you've got the artisan background on that. And then, for class, I'm not sure if I would go with wizard or bard.
So those are like the obvious temptation because they're like close to like the Coca-Cola Santa Claus. My thought would be something more along the lines of there's a version of Rogue that was in like fourth edition where it's like a highly charisma based con man rogue. And I feel like that he's can sneak around and he's very charismatic and then, you know, disappears without a trace after clonking you over the head if you saw him.
That's fair. I feel like that niche has moved over towards bards in a much bigger way in fifth edition. Like, if you're going to be a charismatic con man who sneaks around, you're probably going to end up being a bard.
Yeah, I haven't played a 5th edition bard, but that makes sense. There was like a bullying confidence rogue that I remember enjoying just because it was, you know, that kind of like combination of I'm the face of the group, but also like I have the ability to back up my own. So it's more, almost like a swashbuckler in a way.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that. Oh, and then something else I was thinking that we could do for each of these is like come up with like a special feature or like a couple of special features that would kind of set them apart and like make them match thematically. So like, I feel as if you're going to need a bag of holding.
Oh, 100%.
Right. Like that should just be something that you get off the hop.
That's page one. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I don't know what I would do with the sleigh. Like maybe like a summon familiar that summons like a reindeer.
A customized Tensor's floating disc.
can Tensor's floating disc be drawn by an animal?
No.
I didn't think so.
They just kind of exist.
Okay.
But whatever. It's Santa Claus, man. A wizard did it. Like, who cares?
Yeah, I mean, Santa Claus is the wizard in question, assuming that we gave him the wizard class.
Yeah.
Yeah. What I do, Tensor, is...
Because then you can just have, you know, whatever you want hanging off the front of it. Whatever familiar he happens to have as, you know, Santa Claus.
I kind of like the idea of, like, a scaling summoning spell.
Okay.
Where, like... every couple of levels, you get another reindeer.
Oh, like a druid's summon animal thing, dealy?
Yeah, except that it only does reindeer.
Yeah, it's just
nothing else. Just reindeers.
It's like my my druid that I have that just summons pigeons.
Is he homeless?
She is not. But
okay,
was based on the lady in the park from Home Alone 2.
Oh, perfect. Right.
Yeah.
We talked about her a bit.
Yeah. But yeah. Every animal she can summon is pigeons or fowl of some sort.
Cause I feel like it isn't game breaking to give a player access to a spell like summon familiar or like summon an animal or whatever, as long as it's got like a weird restriction on it.
Yeah.
And I think like just being able to summon reindeer, like that is not going to help you out in a situation where you need a mouse.
No, 99% of the time, not great.
Yeah.
They can't, well, I guess in this case they could fly.
See, that's why you need the levels in Wizard or Bard, so you can cast Fly as a spell.
Right, because, yeah.
But then you would have to cast it, like, multiple times, I think, because is fly a single target or is it multiple targets?
It's single, I believe. I'm going to say in a high-pitched voice.
It's very rare that we do something that actually requires like number-crunchy anything.
It is a single target touch spell.
Okay, so yeah, you're going to have to cast that several times.
Yeah.
Maybe...
Although I saw a thing today that just based on the new rules, if you take that, like, I think it's called Battlecaster feat, where you can switch your opportunity attack to a spell, you could start using something like Fly or Haste or whatever as a reaction when your own teammate ran past you, because per the new rules, anyone can trigger an opportunity attack.
Oh. You still only get one per turn, though.
Yeah, but I'm saying you could double up the amount you can do, because you do one on your turn, one on someone else's turn.
Right.
You know.
I don't know if you can cast more than one spell per round.
Yes, you can.
Okay.
You just can't cast more than... I think it's, you can't cast more than one leveled spell per turn.
Right. Which Fly is.
Right, but it's per turn.
Oh, okay. Not yeah.
Per, you know, hey,
I'm actually going to have to like
lying about these things.
I'm going to have to sit down with the 2024 book, because like even my understanding of 5th edition is kind of wobbly.
Well, and here's the other part of things is that they made all these changes to the way that like combat nomenclature and actions works.
Right.
With this new version. Now, full honesty, my group is not fully switching to whatever this like new version of 5th edition is. We are 100% picking and choosing the things that we want to use and things that we don't want to use. So, as an example, on my sorcerer, they give a slight buff, pardon me, to the heightened spell metamagic, where they just reduce the sorcery point cost, which is great. I can heighten more spells. And as a sorcerer who uses a lot of spells that require saves, great, cool, awesome. But then like they took twinned spell and changed the entire wording of it to make it somehow more convoluted and less usable. And I think
haste spam, right? Like you don't want to have like more than one player hasted in a turn.
But that, also like it's ridiculous it's fast.
It's not fine. We're already dealing with like a system where combat action economy is a huge balance problem. Giving players more actions is horrifying.
Yeah, but we've decided that we're going to reject this change and keep our own.
Oh, okay.
You know,
haste it up.
Yeah, no, just it's like, and you're right. The wording of it specifically is to remove the ability to twin things like haste, right? Have you read the new wording?
No, I haven't.
So it, before it was pay a sorcery point, a spell with single target can now have two targets. End of story. Now they had to put it this like word salad in there that says if a spell can have if up leveling a spell could add an additional target, you could cast the spell at one level higher.
Ah,
right.
Okay.
Which is like, it just seems it's too broad. Like it hits too many things.
I think it's probably more restrictive than it seems. Cause like they get to pick and choose.
That's what I'm saying. It's super restrictive.
Oh,
like the broad, like crank everything down sucks. Cause like, I like unconventional uses for things. And this is just like, nope, if the spell says it can have more than one target, that's the only thing that this is going to modify. I like the idea of casting two ridiculous spells, you know?
Mm. Yeah, that's fair.
Two
true resurrections.
Exactly! Thank you! That is all I wanted. I'm flipping through right now because there's another thing that I do all the time that would be illegal now. Firebolt. It's just a cantrip. All the time I twin it to shoot it at two different things. Can't do that anymore. Because upping the level only increases the damage.
They're coming straight for you, man. That's why they did this.
Can't twin cast a cantrip? Come on.
What changes can we make to D&D that will specifically piss off Josh Vardy?
This is my fault for finally playing a caster and finding one that I like. After years and years and years.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it specifically says spells that have to have a spell slot. Like, come on, man. You think my cantrips are too overpowered?
If you're able to double them up every turn, then they could be.
The point is that you're casting a lot of them because they're not very good. They're just like what you have left, you know?
Yeah. All right, let's talk about Frosty the Snowman.
Okay. Rewind me, you want this to be a player character option?
Generally speaking, like, you could make it a monster if you wanted to, but I'm aiming more at player characters in this case.
Well, yeah, like, the easy answer is it's an ice elemental or whatever, right?
Yeah.
So, how do we make it a player character? See, the problem is, when you say player character, I feel like the answer to half these questions is just going to be druid.
I don't actually think so in this case.
No? Go ahead.
No. Okay, so the first thing that I would do is I would make the species Warforged.
Okay.
So, he's kind of, sort of, technically an artificial creature.
Right.
I would maybe consider putting, like, a specific weakness to, like, fire-based attacks, right? Like, make him vulnerable to fire-based attacks, make him resistant to cold.
Absolutely.
And then the class that I would go with would be Paladin.
Oh.
Oath of the Ancients.
Oh, I see what you're going for.
Go with, like, a nature-based, wintry Paladin build.
Yeah.
Out of, like, a Warforged. And then you've got, like, this big snowy meat shield in the front of your party.
Right. Kind of like right. That thing from Frozen there. Just, you know.
Yeah, Olaf.
No, not Olaf. The one that, whatever. You know what? Everyone knows what I'm talking about. You're just being ridiculous.
You know what, though? If I was going to do that, like, if I was going to do Frosty, I would probably play him as Olaf and just see how many times I could get thrown at, like, ridiculous bullshit. Just, like, my party is trying really hard to get rid of me.
He's a powerful elemental representative of the spirit of the Feywild, and yet he's also 3 feet tall and very throwable.
Yeah. Oh, look, I've been impaled. Just
Yeah, okay. I like that idea.
And then for, like, special features, I feel like you've got to do something with the hat.
Hmm. Yeah, because there was that idea that I threw out a while back. A character that was a sentient hat piloting a mannequin.
That's just this. Yeah. He's a mannequin made of snow. A poorly built mannequin.
What it is today's special, but
yeah.
No, if you want the hat, because you're thinking like the classic Frosty top hat, right?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
You could just, I mean, the easiest answer is just make it some sort of weird magic item that's specific to him, but
I was thinking you could make it so that it was like a hat that would automatically cast animate object on him.
Okay.
Like, it only casts animate object on snowman, and it only turns them into Frosty.
Right.
That
makes sense.
And then, like, if the hat isn't on him, then he deactivates.
Yeah, he's just a snowman again.
Yeah. I mean, maybe. That seems like a big vulnerability for a player. I would choose to play that just because I like characters that have, like, big drawbacks.
No, I 100% understand. Like, I think having giant weaknesses is a compelling character because not only does the DM have to figure out a way to, like, poke at that weakness, but then you as a player have to figure out a way to protect it.
It'd be kind of funny to play him as, like, a dark version of Frosty who's just like, I must protect the hat. the hat is a hole, and just like sharp, pointy ice teeth, and like a monstrous Frosty version of Frosty. Yeah, Oathbreaker Paladin Frosty.
Yeah, exactly.
Love it. All right, who should we do next?
Let's All right, let's do a weird one. Please let's do the Ghosts of Christmas Past, Present, and Future.
Okay. So
First of all, is this one character or three characters?
That, I think, is open to interpretation, and I would be willing to entertain either option as the DM at my table.
Okay, I like the idea of it being one character.
Me too.
Or, one player, three characters, one consciousness.
Yeah. I feel like you kind of have to go Revenant.
Right.
Right, like there really isn't another option for, like, ghosty type characters like that. I don't think there is a playable ghost archetype.
No, there's a few different options for on the undead version, like a Revenant, but I don't think there's anything specific to the ghost.
Yeah. I would, like, if I was gonna do all three, I think that there are probably, like, there's a case to be made for, like, three different magic schools for wizards.
Okay.
And if you wanted to get, like, really complicated with it, you could do it all in one character, where, like, at different times of day or, like, different hours, they have access to different spell lists.
Yeah. This is just kind of what I did with my paladin, where they had different consciousnesses that were controlling the body.
Right.
What so you for, like, could do is... Never mind. I hate my own idea. Go ahead.
No, I need to hear it now.
No. It's gone.
Okay. So the schools that I think I would go with would be like divination for past, mm-hmm. right? Like finding stuff out about the past, enchantment for present, especially because like the only version of these characters that has stayed with me for a very long time is a Muppet Christmas Carol.
Right.
And so when I'm thinking about these characters, right, like the Ghost of Christmas Present is just like a huge fat Dionysian guy going, oh, ho, 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 come closer and know me better, man. Just like that's his whole deal. Yeah. Just like partying it up, eating a lot of food, being jolly. And then for the future, I think it would be necromancy.
Yeah, okay. So I was going to say, like, you could do just, like, a really odd version of, like a cleric based around, what is it, death? Like, the death, what's the word I'm looking for?
The divine paths or whatever?
Yeah.
I don't remember that's not it, but
that's close enough.
Yeah, schools of magic for clerics.
Yeah. You could do a death-based one where, like, present is kind of actually alive, but then past and future just, like, with him as, like, accompaniments.
Hmm. For the special features, I think it'd be kind of neat if, like, we focused on each of the different types. Like, have... if we're doing the one character thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like in my head now, because you said like, is it one character or three? I'm thinking like in the morning, they are the Ghost of Christmas Past.
Okay.
They're ethereal. They have like the ability to walk through walls. They take half damage from everything.
Yeah.
During the present, they would just be fucking normal. And then in like the future, I would maybe give the character like Finger of Death as like a unique spell.
Yeah.
Just like fucking die.
I was trying to figure out a way to work Jacob Marley into it as well, but I think they work better on their own than having like yet another
Marlon Marley.
Yeah.
Man, okay. A Muppet Christmas Carol is 1000% the best Christmas Carol.
Of all the Christmas carols? Yes, definitely. Because Michael Caine is playing it as serious as a heart attack. Like,
yeah. Yeah, absolutely he is. And he fucking sells it, man.
Oh yeah. Like there's conviction there.
And then like the ridiculous Muppet shit that's happening around him is also played to the hilt. Like there is no couching that in like some serious nonsense. It is all 100% ridiculous all the time. It's fucking brilliant.
I do also love how they address like Muppet genetics with Miss Piggy and Kermit, where they're just like, oh, girls are pigs, boys are frogs. Anyways, move on.
What I find interesting about that is that like they are the same species. Like they are capable of breeding with one another, which has some interesting implications for how species works in the Muppet world.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, fuck this entire idea. We're just going to talk about the Muppets for the next leg.
We're Muppet geneticists.
There's that whole discussion about like, if you could take a movie and change the entire like cast to Muppets, except like one human.
Yeah.
Which movie would you do and why?
Because I don't know if you've seen that quote about like the difference between Treasure Island and Christmas Carol.
In Christmas Carol, Long John Silver is the Muppet.
In Treasure Island,
Muppet Treasure Island. Yeah, he's just a fucking Muppet.
Tim Curry treats himself as a fellow Muppet.
Yes. Yeah, and it's also brilliant.
And Michael Caine treats him as fellow actors.
Yeah, it's so good. Fuck.
I think that's it. It takes. Everyone has to be tonally consistent, right. But what tone it is doesn't really matter.
I mean, it matters a little bit, but I think it's like whatever tone is best going to serve that story. Right. Because with Muppet Treasure Island, it's a big swashbuckling adventure tale, right? If you were to play that with the kind of seriousness and gravitas that is brought to A Christmas Carol, I don't think that's going to work.
No, but that's what I'm saying is that, sorry, it doesn't matter because they're Muppets, right? Like, Muppets don't have to have a specific tone just because it's the Muppets. They can do whatever they want. It just has to fit the story correctly.
Okay, so here's my new pitch.
Okay.
We're going to do American History X with Muppets. Everybody is a Muppet except Ed Norton's girlfriend.
Okay.
And we never discuss it.
You threw this idea out and my brain basically immediately did the opposite. Where it's American History X, everyone's normal except for Edward Norton's character, who is played by Kermit.
See, I love the idea of just like randomly inserting Muppets in things and just never fucking mentioning it.
Yeah.
Right. Like the idea of just like, we're going to do a Mean Girls reboot. One of the characters, not the main character, just one of the characters is Miss Piggy, and we're never going to talk about it.
Yeah, this just never comes up.
We're off track. We're way off track.
Classic.
Jolupucky. I am murdering the pronunciation on this.
You said this in our pre-show meeting, and I was pretty sure you didn't say a word, but...
So apparently this is like a Finnish
Jolupukki.
I don't fucking know.
Jolupukki.
I don't speak Finnish. I only know one Finnish person and I did not ask her prior to recording how to pronounce this.
Can we call her up right now?
I don't think so. It is 11 at night. I haven't spoken to her in a while, so that would be really weird.
You guys aren't that kind of tight.
We used to work together. I'm sure I could like send her a message and be like, hey, can I call you about this thing in a week? But like, maybe not. Yeah. So anyway.
All right, fine.
Jolopuki, or however the fuck you're supposed to pronounce this, is also called the Christmas goat. And apparently it is a tradition in Finland that somebody gets dressed up as a goat and then goes around begging for leftover Christmas food.
Why leftover? Like, why can't they just beg for food? It's already humiliating.
Because you're going like door to door, right? Like you're going from like house to house being like, yo, you got any of that cranberry sauce? Like, can you hook a guy up? I would
rather see them like threaten people. Like take that sort of like Halloween trick or treat angle on it, where it's like, you better give me some Christmas food or I'm going to kill your family or whatever it is.
Man, okay. Right? So now you've made me want to do Christmas trick or treating. Just like,
yeah, what do you think caroling is?
Well, yeah, but like do caroling, but show up with Tupperware.
Okay. Yeah.
Please provide to me the Christmas turkey that I so desperately deserve for singing Christmas carols on your front step.
Right. And it was known that if like, you're not going to be home that night, you like leave a turkey out on the porch for, you know,
with like a face carved into it and a candle inside.
Yeah.
Yes. No, I love everything about this plan. So I mostly just wanted to talk about this ridiculous idea because there are so many places that do Christmas differently than we do. And the idea of one getting dressed up as a goat for Christmas seems like a lot of fun to me. And begging for Christmas scraps is also kind of hilarious. And I thought that would make an interesting idea for like a character.
It's the begging angle that makes it both sadder and funnier.
Right? So, like, you could very easily make this, like, a rogue character, like a homeless-type rogue character that does a lot of begging, but does so exclusively dressed up like an animal.
Yep.
I think it would be funnier if you did an actual satyr.
Okay.
Right, so the person is part goat already and is then just like dressing it up a little bit and then went barbarian for the class.
Oh, you didn't want to do a satyr druid or something, whatever?
No.
Satyr bard?
Very specific. Like I said druid for Santa Claus in like the pre-show meeting and you were like, eh, whatever. And so I've just like specifically not said druid for anything else.
Okay, good. No, because, okay, listen, I am a grump. I'm not just a grump, though.
No.
I feel like there's something about, like, druids and bards and somewhat wizards where they could just, like, if you just pull a couple knobs and turn some levers, then you can kind of make them do whatever you want. And that's what happens in these things all the time. So I want us to get, like, a little more abstract, I think, with the character classes to try to like be more creative with what could play them.
Right. So we have a satyr barbarian with either the outlander or folk hero background.
Okay.
And then for the special feature, I feel like that has to have something to do with the eating.
Like he could, like if he just like devours things around him to regain health or something.
Yeah. Or like as long as he has eaten some sort of holiday food in the last hour, he gets like a +1 to rolls.
Okay. God, that's so much harder doing this as player characters. Cause my brain automatically was like, I could just make something fucking terrifying. That's a monster for them to kill, where he's grabbing people and shoving them in his sack and eating parts off of them and stuff like that. But it's like, no, this has to be the hero of the story. I'm like, I don't know. He's a horrible monster. I guess people will, you know, I shouldn't say there are monster fuckers everywhere, but like,
there really are.
This is a tough one.
I don't know if it would be like tough. It might be hard to fit into a party.
Yeah.
But like,
yeah,
have you read the Percy Jackson books?
No.
Okay. How old is Grant?
8.
Start reading the Percy Jackson books with him.
I'm trying to get him reading in general right now. And so far the most success I've had has been with The Far Side.
Okay.
So
like not him reading, but read them to him.
Okay.
Right. There is a character in Percy Jackson named Grover Underwood, who is a satyr that works.
You know what? I know who this person is because we watched the TV show.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So take Grover, and then one of the things that Grover did in the book that they didn't really do in the TV show. And the reason for that is because they didn't want to like have impressionable kids trying to like, impersonate him or whatever. Grover just eats garbage all the time.
Oh God.
Right. Like usually he's like chewing on a tin can.
Right, because he's a goat.
He's a fucking goat, right? And so the idea of, like, take that character and then also make him beg for Christmas food. Or, like, whatever the holiday of the time is, right? Like, this is the type of person who, like, keeps track of what day it is on the calendar where it's like, it's National Brother's Day. Can I have some Brother's Day food, please?
The fact that you even know that there is a Brother's Day, it means that this is someone designed just for you.
I mean, if you can think of a thing, there's a day for it.
Yeah, let's get our Arbor Day snacks.
Just chewing on, you know, Arbor Day drinks would just be Buckley's.
An Arbor Day drink is spruce tea.
I don't know why, but that sounds really gross to me.
Yeah, imagine all of the fun flavor of pine in a drink.
Buckley's.
Yeah, but like, you know, non-medicinal.
Oh, okay. All right.
Apparently, it's an excellent source of vitamin C.
I bet. Have you seen The Green Knight?
I have not seen The Green Knight. It's on my list on Prime to watch, but I... But stringing together two consecutive hours for myself has been a struggle.
Fair. That's fair. Okay. The Green Knight is fucking phenomenal.
Okay.
It is, like, as a person who is just kind of a nerd for Arthurian legends in general.
Yeah.
It fucking slaps. It is so good.
Well, that's good to hear.
Like, the visual design on it is fantastic. The character work in it is great. The acting is all very on point. Their version of Arthur is one of my favorite things I've seen. He's just like this old decrepit man, like with a younger, hotter wife.
That tracks for the time.
Yeah. But like, it doesn't really get into the weeds of a lot of the other stuff. It's like a very tight story about a brash young man who makes a mistake, challenges the wrong guy, figures that he's got it in the bag because, like, he decapitates the dude.
Yeah.
Like, are you familiar with the legend of the Green Knight?
Nope.
Okay.
Not at all.
So on Christmas Day, everybody is hanging out at King Arthur's, like, round table. They're having a big feast. Some guy kicks in the fucking door and challenges any of the knights there that whatever they do to this Green Knight, he's going to do to them in 1 year's time. And so Gawain, the younger nephew of King Arthur, challenges him and immediately decapitates him. And he figures he's got this locked, right? Like the Green Knight can't do anything about that. But then the Green Knight stands up, picks up his head and is like, cool, I'll see you in a year.
That's unsettling.
Right. And it is as unsettling as it sounds in the movie, and it's just fucking pitch perfect. But then, like, he has to wrestle for the next year with, like, the responsibility of, like, he actually has to go and see this guy and, like, fulfill the part of the agreement for, like, his knightly duties that he made because he did accept the challenge. He did do the thing. Everything is set up and honorable the right way. So what the fuck do you do?
Right. Right? There's no getting out of this one.
It's so, so good. So I think human.
Yeah.
Just most of the Arthurian knights are.
Oh, wait, you're saying this about the Green Knight himself or Gawain?
Gawain.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry. I was confused for a second. I thought we were trying to make the Green Knight.
I mean, we could make the Green Knight too. That'd be kind of neat. Let's do both.
Okay.
All right. So,
I mean, the Green Knight is pretty easy, I feel like.
Yeah.
Oh, what was the name of that? I never have any of these books in front of me. There was that, like, racial type from that Cobalt Press book that would work perfect for this.
There's just like a undead slime.
Revenant. What?
Just a slime. Doesn't matter if you cut a part of it off. It's like, it's roughly human shaped, and I cut off its head.
I mean, I always think it was like actually humanoid and just like, yeah, had that like regenerative ability where it just like stands up and it's like, okay, good. We're good.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's the way that it's sold for sure. Like he's a fey creature.
Right.
Right. Like obviously unnatural and like he's got plant stuff growing out of him.
Right.
So like, I think that's probably the direction I would take. It would be like a fey creature.
Okay.
I don't know of any fey creatures that you can just cut bits of them off and they're fine.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think that has to be the special feature, right? Like, yeah. Special feature. You can have bits of you cut off. You can put them back on later. It'll be okay. Doesn't actually affect anything with like your hit points or anything.
Yeah. The only thing I can think of that comes to mind is like, and this might date me, but Fall Apart Rabbit.
I don't know that reference. What's a Fall Apart Rabbit?
Oh my goodness. Fall Apart Rabbit. Okay. Hold on. I'm going to bring up Fall Apart Rabbit, the cartoon character, a friend of Bonkers D. Bobcat from the Bonkers TV show.
Which I also don't know.
You don't know Bonkers? Okay.
Bonkers.
So basically,
Bobcat. I know Bonkers.
Is a yellow rabbit that has detachable body parts. And they tend to, like when you, like, you know, you're the kind of person who, like, dislocates joints.
Oh,
they
yeah.
They just tend to get easier over time. That's how his body parts work.
Oh, okay.
They just kind of fall off sometimes. It's not a big deal. He just grabs them and sticks them back on.
As a person who has had a dislocated shoulder, it does not actually get easier. Like, it's less painful over time.
Yeah.
But, like, it's actually getting worse. And then, occasionally my shoulder just falls out of its fucking socket for no reason.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It gets easier to fall out.
It does get a lot easier to fall out. That is true. It is getting significantly more of a pain in the ass to put it back in.
Yeah. No, like your tendons get loose or whatever the correct terminology is.
Yeah. And because I'm allergic to exercise.
And boredom,
which I find exercise boring, which is probably a compounding problem. The falling out is a thing that I need to stop happening. If my body could just stop falling out of itself, that would be great. Just being able to like remove body parts and put them back on, I think has to be the special feature.
Yeah. Yeah. That's an easy one.
Maybe an elf.
Just an Inspector Gadget of. Sorry, yeah. What?
Maybe like a high elf with that like special feature.
Oh, I see. I keep wanting to do like classes that I know or like races that I know existed at one point, but I'm not 100% sure been ported over to fifth edition yet.
Okay.
Like I'd love to see a Wilden
or something.
A Wilden.
Wilden. Oh yeah. Yeah, that'd be good.
Well, they're very natural in that way.
Yeah.
Okay, and let's do one more.
Okay, let's do one more. You pick.
I mean, this one's obvious. We're going with Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
The Lord of Lords, the Host of Hosts.
King of Kings. Pretty swell guy by most accounts.
So, obviously we're going to... Okay, so there's a few ways we could go with this.
Yep.
We could go with just a Jewish guy. It's not very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
He's just a guy.
Just a guy.
My thought is Celestial Patron Warlock.
Okay. I'm digging it.
Yeah. And essentially, yeah, he's a more, he's like, he's sort of a Jesus and the Money Changers kind of Jesus.
Okay.
Where it's him and his patron himself and a whip and flipping tables.
I love that, like, warlocks do have the ability to just make themselves their patron.
Their own patron? Yeah.
Because that absolutely fits in this case. Because, like, it's me and my dad who are the same person.
Yeah, it's me and my dad who is me. And my friend the Holy Spirit who is also me. I like that version. Or we do, like, the Revelations type Jesus. Like, returned in his full glory. Okay. To quote the line from Norma Jean, but sword in mouth, fire eyes, as per... the Revelations lines about, you know, Jesus in his ascended form.
Okay. So ascended form Jesus, I think, has to be an Asimar.
Yeah. Asimar, and then you could do the Asimar, like I'm doing the Divine Soul Sorcerer.
Okay. You could do Divine Soul Sorcerer. I think, like, just for, and like, this is too obvious. It's probably too obvious, but just fucking life cleric.
Right. Well, that's why I like the idea of the Divine Soul Sorcerer, because the Divine Soul can grab spells from the cleric spell list. Right. So he gets the stuff from being a cleric, but can also do things like sprout wings and fly around once a day.
Mm. Okay. Special abilities is going to be tough to nail down, because, like, Jesus got a laundry list.
Yeah, he's got a few. You could do, like, have you ever heard of the concept of a perpetual from the Warhammer world?
No.
So the perpetuals are essentially immortal creatures. Like, they're not actually, like, immortal, but every time they die, they come back with, like, all of their memories, and they just kind of, like, restart another life somewhere.
As we know, Jesus did.
Right.
Yeah.
So they just have the idea of him, like, dying and coming back over and over and over and over and over.
So far, he's just done it the once, to my understanding. But, like,
no, I'm saying
you can test it.
This version.
Okay.
This is not historical Jesus. This is just guy.
Random Jewish guy who is also an Asimar divine sorcerer.
Yeah, you're getting the idea.
Yeah. Okay. So I feel like a lot of the stuff that Jesus did can be covered by spells.
Right.
Right. Like, we've got create food and water for, like, some loaves and fishes nonsense. We got water to wine or wine to water. Is that still a spell in 5th edition?
I don't know. I haven't looked for something that stupid.
Probably, like, you could just prestidigitation it to turn all the water into wine.
Oh, yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what prestidigitation does now. That's one of the many things it does. Yeah, you're right. It can flavor stuff. That's, hey, we figured it out. We got there, everyone. We know the game that we're talking about every week.
And then I think the special ability that I would maybe run with would be either cure disease on touch.
Uh-huh.
Or can heal one hit point without expending a spell slot.
What if we just give him, like, the paladin trait of lay on hands?
We could. Yeah, do, like, a divine sorcerer. Just a really with, like,
powerful version of lay on hands.
Yeah. I mean, I think lay on hands as it is just works.
That's true, where you can, you know, heal people or remove diseases and then call it a day.
Yeah. Yeah. The other thing that I was thinking as a possibility, and this is a little more hilarious to me, would be a Way of Mercy monk.
Oh.
All right. So he's monked up, has, like, the healing abilities from the Way of Mercy, I don't know where Jesus learned Kung Fu. But, like, aesthetically,
a question for the ages.
Right? Yeah, where did Jesus learn Kung Fu is going to be our first piece of merch. That's going to be a shirt.
Hey, Siri.
It's one of the wise men bringing some incense. Just be like, okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Punch, punch.
These wise men. Hey, they're from the East.
Yeah. Yeah, wise men from the East bringing incense and kung fu.
As is foretold.
As was foretold. Man, when Revelations does come and Jesus shows up with like a flaming sword doing a bunch of like wicked ass kung fu shit, we're going to be the only people unsurprised by this.
Yeah, but I've been telling you about this for literally decades.
Okay, so there was one other thing that I kind of wanted to touch on, which is like there is a party composition that I think could be a lot of fun.
Okay.
And that is Santa and the Companions of St. Nicholas.
The Companions of St. Nicholas?
Yeah, so some traditions say that like Santa rolled with a crew. And this was like prior to elves becoming like the big thing.
Right. Until elves became the crew. He had a crew.
Yeah, he had a crew. And it was like
J crew.
Knight Rupert, who would ask kids if they know their prayers, and if they didn't, then he would give them like a sack of ashes.
That's so terrifying. Yeah, well, I guess that tracks with like the idea that you get coal in your stocking if you're a piece of shit or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Belsnickel, who is responsible for giving kids shoes and socks for Christmas. So, like, if you've been pretty okay.
Practical elf?
Yeah, just, like, you haven't been a good kid. You're not on the naughty list. You're just kind of, like, somewhere in the middle. Have some fucking socks. Yeah. And then...
It's like, you're not so bad that we're going to take away all reward, but, like, you aren't going to... You know, you can do better.
Black Peter, who is deeply problematic.
To say the least. Do not Google Black Peter.
Do not Google Black Peter. Just understand that he is... A white man doing blackface who beats naughty children.
Oh, like I am inspired by the message that he stands for. But.
And then the last one is Krampus.
Right. And we all know Krampus.
We all know Krampus. He steals kids and puts them in a sack and then crushes them and eats them.
Yeah.
So I love the range that we have here from like, you get socks,
huh?
Or you're going to get fucking eaten. Like, have a pair of shoes, get fucking murked.
See, but I think that uncertainty is what inspires the best behavior through children. You don't know who's coming with him this year, you know? Is it Sock Man? Maybe.
See, there is a part of my head that loves the idea of like starting a campaign in like a shitty bar, uh-huh, and in walks Santa Claus himself,
uh-huh,
a fully armored knight,
uh-huh,
a guy with a sack of shoes, a man in blackface, and a horrifying demon monster. And that's your party. Those are the good guys.
Yeah. That's where your story starts.
Just like, and the fact that they come prepackaged as like Saint Nicholas and his companions.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I don't have to explain that to anyone. I don't have to figure out
these
why.
These are my homies. We know.
Yeah. Like, Krampus went in a bit of a different direction, but like, he's going through a phase and we respect him.
Yeah. And you know what? Frankly, he serves a purpose. Like, he's not doing this out of I feel like he's the kind of guy who he's not like, he doesn't love his job, but he understands the necessity that his job holds in society.
And like, he does it with a certain amount of professional glee. Like, because you have to sell it, right? Like, you can't just eat children, right? Like, if you're going to be the horrifying monster of Christmas, you have to like gleefully eat children.
I don't know if gleeful is the right word. There's definitely professionalism. He takes his job seriously, but I don't think he derives any sort of joy from it.
I'm just saying, maybe he's got a different definition of Christmas cheer, right? Like, you got your turkey, he's got his children.
I suppose, but I think he understands how important it is to be truly horrifying to enact real change in the world, and takes his job just absolutely deadly seriously in that regard.
I also kind of just love the gradient that you see there with like Saint Nicholas on one side and Krampus on the other, and right. like the different kinds of character interactions that you can have between like Saint Nicholas is way too nice. He's yeah. way too kind. Nobody actually like he doesn't want to hurt anybody. And then Krampus needs to eat children. They are going to have a conversation about this at some point, and it is not going to be a comfortable one.
I like the idea that both of those are like affectations that they put on for the holiday season. Like the rest of the year, Krampus is quiet and gentle and demure, and Santa's like a loudmouth dick. And then the holidays come around and they flip.
Or even just like, yeah, the idea that these are personas that they put on, like all of them are pretty normal people most of the time. And right. then like the 12 days of Christmas start to like crank up, and Knight Rupert is like polishing his armor, right? He's readying the sack of ashes. Like he's got a lot of stuff he needs to burn to get these ashes done.
Like everyone knows that like around December 14th, Krampus is going to go pretty quiet on social media because he's getting into character. it makes me think of like, I don't know if you remember, there was an old like Looney Tunes or something like that where like the wolf and the
sheepdog.
I think it's like, yeah, the wolf and the sheepdog like clock in and out of their day job.
Yeah.
You know? And they're just like, oh, hey, how's it going? Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then they just get to it, like, immediately.
Yeah. Well, not even immediately. Like, they clock in, and then they, like, look at each other, and I think they shake hands.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then the wolf just darts. Yeah. No, I love the idea of, like, yeah, this crew of guys, they only have to work once a year. They all take it incredibly seriously.
Yeah.
They have to make it around the entire planet in a night. That's going to be a big deal. Yeah.
I have this mental image of like the person, the thing that becomes Krampus, just like standing in an empty locker room in front of his like full length locker, just like looking at a mirror on the door as he like adjusts his collar, and then there's like a deep sigh and his shoulders drop. And then the door closes, and as he turns, now he is Krampus,
like, full on. So yeah, like that moment where the clown is putting on his makeup.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right, and like he's obviously not as happy as the thing that he is putting on. This guy is just like tired. He doesn't necessarily want to do this, but like it's fucking Christmas. He's got to show up for the kids. And those naughty kids need to be eaten.
Yeah, like you can have you leave your personal shit at home. When you walk in that door, it's Krampus time.
If you don't eat the children, then the good children won't know how good they have it.
it's the Mark Rosewater design philosophy of holiday horror.
Hey, thanks for making it all the way through this episode of No Plot Only Lore. If you're looking for more, you can always find us at noplotonlylore.com and on all the very best podcast platforms. If you like what you heard today, please share, rate, and review the show to feed my never-ending need for attention and validation.